as I invite you back to Creating Flow, the podcast that teaches you how to take your energy back and create flow in your life. I'm Joni Francisco. I'm a holistic healer, teaching you helpers and healers how to unblock and unlock the energy within you so you can finally feel great consistently while serving others and building abundance in your life. Today, we're going to dive in to giving yourself permission with Jen Begaiski. What if giving yourself permission is the key to your freedom? Hi, Jen. Welcome to Creating Flow.
Hello.
Yeah. And today we're going to talk about permission and what it means to give ourselves permission in all the different areas of our life and how what gets to open up for people if we do that. And so we'll just kind of jump in and I'll ask you first, like what in your expertise, what does it mean for someone to give themselves permission?
I guess what that really means is to give yourself permission to fully love all of the pieces of who you are and really stepping into the full expression of who you are as a woman.
Yeah, I love that. It's so important, I think, to love both sides, right? And we often, I think, as we're going on healing journeys, we want to focus on the positive, right? And we don't want to spin in the victim or the negative, but giving ourselves permission to open up all parts of us gives us access to like way more of that spectrum. I know you do a lot of stuff on emotions too. And it's like reminds me of if we close ourselves off to anger and frustration and sadness, we also close ourselves off to joy and pleasure and love, right? And yeah, so I love that piece about loving all the parts of you. So what does it mean to like, what would you say does it mean to not give yourself permission? Like what shows up for people when they haven't given themselves permission?
Today, if you have not given yourself permission, you're probably feeling stuck. You're feeling like something is missing. You're comparing yourself to other people. You're in feeling guilty, feeling shame. Like it's taking these things, but it's hiding them. And I really love what you said about the expansiveness of our feelings, because one of the things that I like to say is that if you think about a piano, the piano has black and white keys, and we have 88 keys as women, right? And if you just had a song that just played the white keys, it would be pretty, but it would just be white keys. And if you just played the black keys, it would only be the black keys. But when you put them together and you have that harmony of the black and white keys, it's similar to the what I'll call positive and negative emotions.
Well, that's intriguing. I don't have much of a musical background. So what does, like, just like real quick, not going too tangently, like, is there a different kind of like bass sound in the two different keys of that? Or is it just for an example, they play differently?
Yeah, no, I mean, and not to get super technical, but there's flats and sharps. And if you think about it, like there are some keys that are more, I'll call it like a lighter sound. And then there are some of the keys like the flats, if you're going to have, you know, hit one of your, the black keys, right? Which is more of a darker kind of sound. And if you look at it from that perspective, when you put them together, it's harmonious. But when you have them separate by themselves, it feels, it could be bad, wrong, et cetera. Who knows, right? But molding them together is what creates that harmony. So when we as humans can embrace the depths of our anger, the depths of our sadness, and the depths of our pleasure and our happiness, it expands what we can feel and experience in this lifetime.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. That is like a really beautiful analogy of that. And I love that it's even the contrast of the white and the black shows the dark and the light. That's like super interesting to me. Yeah, we're talking about not giving yourself permission. So one thing that pops to me and that is really, we're talking about spectrum here. But when you coach, when I coach, what ultimately we want is people to really be in full expression, right? But when you are in full expression, like what gets to happen? then that doesn't when you're closed off.
Yeah. When you're in full expression, you actually get to feel the feelings that are real for you and you're not hiding. I think so many times we've been taught, don't cry or put on your big girl panties and push through it, right? Like you have to do these things, be strong, be independent, you know, whatever it is. And you know what? Some days our bodies just need to be. To cry, to just sit on the couch, to feel whatever is showing up as opposed to stuffing it. Because I know for me growing up, I was taught to stuff my emotions inside, right? That I was not allowed to say what I felt, let alone feel what I felt out loud. Like I joke around and say that I would get grounded for smiling wrong. Right. Like I would react the wrong way in front of my dad and he would send me to my room. And it was like, can't even express how I feel in the morning because I'm going to get grounded if I don't do it the right way. Right. So, and everybody's dads probably didn't ground them for smiling wrong, but there's, we all have examples similar to that, that are not, hey, my dad beat me. Right? Not huge trauma, but still trauma that is in our bodies and our nervous systems remember that. So when we are programmed to not allow those things to come out, we're constantly resisting allowing ourselves to feel.
Yeah. And I think that resisting is really something that does hold us back too from giving ourselves permission, right? Because a little bit of that is just subconscious, that like you're talking about the subconscious programming, but that subconscious trying to keep us safe because it wasn't safe at some point to fully give ourselves permission. But also we haven't learned, like that's, I don't know if it's always been that way, right? Because we're just here right now, but most of us haven't learned what that even means. Like that's a journey in of itself, is learning like what does it mean to give myself full permission and in all areas of my life, what does that look like? Right. And so there's like that, like a playfulness to it even. And maybe I would just like, this just all came in for me, right? As you're talking about that is like, it's like this curiosity, right? Is like part of the way I live my life and have look at the way I'm working with clients is curiosity. But also like if we bring that playfulness into permission as to we get to play around and explore who we really are and give ourselves permission to like, oh, that wasn't for me. Oh, that is for me. You know, that could bring a lot more awareness and really open our container for more, really.
I really think that I like how you talked about the playfulness piece, because I think that we as women, I don't think play enough, right? We're very diligent on wanting to be good moms, good workers, et cetera. And we're responsible, right? Many of the people listening probably had children, husbands, partners, jobs. They're also, you know, volunteering at the PTA or school or church or, you know, whatever. And we want to be good at everything that we do. And we just don't allow ourselves the time to play. It's all about work. It's not about play. And what I have found is when I focus on play, when I focus on pleasure, I call more of that in. And it's almost like play is taboo. You know, like nobody says the word is taboo, right? But like you have to earn it, right? We have to put in our time, do our work, and then we're worthy and deserving. Well, but we're worthy and deserving because of who we are as a human soul in this lifetime. We don't have to prove our value and worth. But so many of us believe that we have to do that. So we keep these goals, and I don't want to say unachievable goals, but stretch goals that it's like, okay, well, I got to do this. When I hit this, then I can do that. And this is part of the permission process too, of like, you don't give yourself permission now to play. Don't wait until you achieve a goal to give yourself permission.
Yeah. And that's a piece when people are in my program that I have a lot of women that are high achieving. They have big goals. They have big impacts to bring into the world, like you, right? Like these are big things, topics that we broach and open it up, just like this freedom for women that hasn't been here for us, maybe. And that's often one of the things I have them do. And they look at me like, you know, I think that that's a little crazy, because I'll be like, go like this month, put in all the things that you would like to do, all the play things first, and then schedule your other things in your calendar. And I particularly bring that up for people that are feeling low inspiration, right? And low motivated to do their work, even though they still do it, but it's not like it's no longer bringing them joy. And so we have to bring that joy back in, like you said, to like, if we want more of something, we need to create more of it in our life first. And then it comes back to us exponentially, right? But we have to see it. We have to feel it. We have to embody it in order to raise the amount that we have in life.
And I'm just thinking like two examples in my own life of focusing on pleasure and play is dancing, right? Like so many people have said, Jen, how do you have the time to be a single mom, raise four boys, work a full-time job, have a business, and ballroom dance, right? Plus whatever all the other stuff I do. And I said, because I prioritize pleasure. I prioritize play. And those things fuel me so that I can show up as the fullest extent of me in all aspects of my life. I don't feel drained. Like, I don't get sick. I have no pain because I focus on pleasure. And what I find is the more I do that, the more opportunities show up in my life. Even with this recent Italy trip that I took back in October, like, again, that was just another play thing, right? I wanted to do this and it created more opportunities. And when I came back from that trip, my whole family up-leveled. That's what's fascinating too. I said yes to me. And because I grew, my children were forced energetically to grow. I hate using that word. I got to find a better word. But I didn't tell them to grow.
Invited. Yeah, they were invited. Right? Yeah.
The universe invited them to grow. I like that. Okay, I got to write that one down. Because that's exactly what happened. The universe invited them to grow, and they did. But it wasn't because mom knocked on the door and said, hey, you have to do this, honey, because you're not following what I want for you. No, it was, I'm living my life. I'm raising my standards. I'm growing. And the kids were then invited to join me on the journey. And I think as moms, we need to understand, I don't think we understand that enough. I think most moms would focus on their children before they focused on themselves. And there's a balance, because when you do focus on you, it will feed down to them. But you have to allow, you have to let go of control and allow it. And it's so much easier to try to focus on someone else's problems, like our children, right? Because we feel like we're responsible for them, but we're really not. Like, we're responsible to help raise them, but we're not responsible for how their life turns out. That's for them to choose how they're going to live their lives.
Yeah, I want to touch on that just a bit. And then I want to go back and talk about a little bit of something else that you're talking about. But I often use that term responsible to, right? Like, we're responsible to them, not for them. And as a parent, I feel like something that really opened a lot of freedom for me in that too is a lot what you're talking about. But it's in general, everybody signs up for this journey, right? Like, this is my belief. It may not be everybody's belief, but it's like one of those spiritual things that I now know. Right. I feel like it couldn't really be any other possibility, is that we all signed up for this journey. We all signed up to walk it together, including our children. Right. They knew what kind of parent I was going to be. They knew the mistakes I was going to make. And they still said yes to join this journey with me. And so I love that, how that opens up for them to be in full expression, right? In their full power of what they came here to do without us dictating it and causing that resistance within them. It's kind of back to that example of your dad, right? Like he probably didn't have that freedom either, right? He probably did not grow up with the freedom to even know what emotions are, right? He probably doesn't have good language around it. He probably didn't have grace either as he was growing up, right? And so not to stereotype men, because I think it's very common in women too. And that's part of both of our journeys and how we help people is open up and give themselves permission. I really, you know, and we give them permission to heal in a way that hasn't been available to them before. And I wanted to come back to the piece about dancing and music and that creativity. I feel like those things give you pleasure. But I also want to bring into for our audience that doing creative pursuits, especially moving your body, but anything else like that, allows that flow of energy and those flow of emotions to actually process and not get stuck in your body. And when they're getting stuck, that's when we get disease and pain and overwhelm and fatigue. And we forget that we create our own energy, and that if we allow these, you know, take out the dams and allow it to flow, then yeah, we get to show up way more consistently at a much higher vibration, right? And in turn, that calls in those things that we want that are higher vibration. So I love how that's, you know, coming full circle there in that conversation. It looks like you have something you wanted to add.
Yeah, no, well, what's interesting is, and I don't know, you know, how many people realize this, but like, we store our emotions in our body, like in the lower half of our body, like our womb space, right? So if you've had an experience that's happened and the trauma is held there and you've never really truly felt it and expressed it, it's still inside your body, whether you believe it or not. And I have seen time and time again, when women move their body, shifts occur. Women do not process through the mind. We process through the body. We release through the body. And I gave a talk a couple of weeks ago, and I did a 90-second movement exercise in the middle of a restaurant. And there were a handful of women that cried in 90 seconds of moving their body. Now, here's what's interesting, what I find fascinating. The couple of women who did that were younger. Some of the older women were resisting, right? So they can move their body too, but they still had this resistance to, is this thing really going to work? What crazy thing is she having me do? Really? Like, come on, this is weird. I'm in the middle of a restaurant. Look, people over there can see me, hear me, whatever. All the mental chatter, right? But I found it fascinating that like younger woman, never met before, completely open, was like, oh my gosh, like, how do you know if this works or not? And she's got tears rolling down her face. And I was like, because you're crying. You know what I mean? Like, so some people might dance and they might be like, this didn't work. Well, it didn't work because you weren't open to it. I promise people that if you're open to this work, to moving your body, allowing yourself to feel, you will experience release. It's a way of, I'll say, clearing our energy body. You're going to love this analogy, right? So I like to say to people, we all know what it's like when our kids don't clean their toilets, probably at home, right? Like if there's poop stuck in the toilet, you need a swisher to clean it out, right? It doesn't clean itself, but it's the same thing with our energy. But we can't see it. With the toilet, we can see it. And we can go, oh, great. It's, you know, it's piling up. And then you decide to swift it, right? But we can't see our energy, but it gets clogged just like a toilet does. And if you choose to not clean it or move the energy out, it's not going to go away on its own. I know it's kind of a weird visual example, but I think everybody can kind of relate to it.
Yeah, I think people will find appreciation there for sure. In one way or another. I just want to add real quick to that, because that brings up a piece we were talking about, what doesn't happen if people don't give themselves permission. But we didn't talk about so much that piece of like going back to your dad example, if that's okay, if I have permission to go there, is like, what would have happened if you would have done it anyway? Right. And your brain thought that was unsafe for whatever reason. Like, he's not going to love you. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get kicked out of the family. Right. Like, that seems extreme, but that's what our reptilian brain does. We used to have to be in tribe to survive. Right. And it does everything to not get kicked out. But the piece there that I really want to bring forward is safety, right? So those women didn't, most likely, I'm inferring here, did not feel safe either in where they were then at that moment, or it may have never been safe for them, or the experience does that need to come up, don't feel safe. Right. And so that's the first piece. You talked a little bit about this, about nervous system regulation, but finding that place where it actually feels safe to give yourself permission as kind of the start place to melt that barrier boundary. Right.
Yeah, I like that, because I do agree that like safety is the number one thing in this healing process and journey. Right. If you're not feeling safe, then you're not going to move through anything. And what I have found is that the more practices that I do personally with physical self-love, like, and I don't mean just saying an affirmation in the mirror, right? I mean physically connecting with my actual body, whether it's breath work, movement, touch, you name it, to any part of the body. It can be a hand massage, a breast massage. It can be like, you know, rubbing your head, your feet, you know, that type of thing. It calms the nervous system, but it retrains the brain. And one of the things that I've learned through my work with Mama Gina, as well as like Layla Martin and stuff, is how we can reprogram some of our traumas by using the power of pleasure and our bodies, that you can, when you will allow your body to feel safe, you can then process through things that you may have never thought possible before, because the body has been trained to resource itself and to enjoy the power of pleasure as opposed to worrying about the pain.
Like this, that idea of push and pull is coming in for me. And I was just trying to like let that sink in about like pain is really the push, right? Like it pushes us away and pleasure pulls us in. And like what feels better, right? Like getting pushed or getting invited in, pulled in. And so that you can be in more alignment with your desires and your goals. And that I can't help but bring in this idea of really is the way to create flow, right? Like that being in alignment with that pleasure and that pull is what creates flow and ease and grace in your life. And I love that you brought in that idea of it's like really rewiring, right? Like if we have a circumstance where we have wired having a feeling as being unsafe, instead we bring in, oh, it is safe and it feels good to have a feeling, whether it be anger, sadness, anything, fear. I'm like, wow, you know, that's kind of cool that it actually feels good. I'm going to use another shit analogy because I feel like you opened that door, and I can't help but think about like when we're stuffed our energy, right? Like that's an energetic constipation. And when you're finally able to let loose of that, whether it be literal poop coming out of your body or those emotions, it actually feels pleasurable once you've moved through that cycle. And so, yeah, super interesting how that even in the discomfort, we can still feel the pleasure and that can draw us forward.
Yeah. Gosh, I've got like two different thoughts happening right now. But like, I think, I know. So most of us grow through pain. I haven't met any woman, human, who hasn't said, oh my gosh, I had this struggle, I had this pain, and I went through the storm and I came out on the other side, right? Which is great. But that doesn't have to be the only way to learn. It is a way, absolutely, right? And we've all done it. But we can grow through choice of play and pleasure and being in that high vibrational state. So, you know, the reason that I talk about pleasure and orgasm, I had to throw it in, right? No, because it's a high vibrational state. Oh, and orgasm actually allows you to release as well, too. It's pleasureful and it's releasing at the same time, right? So why would we not want to enjoy something that was going to bring us pleasure, right? And allow us to continue to grow and bring in more of what we want. Like, I think I did an episode that was riding the waves of pleasure. And it's crazy because like, it's like being on a roller coaster, right? When you're in pleasure and you just kind of feel it and you just keep riding the wave and you just keep going. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to keep riding this wave until the next, you know, until it flows and, you know, that kind of a thing. But it allows us to call in more of what we desire. And when you allow it to happen, you're in that flow, right, that you've been talking about. You're creating the flow as opposed to having something be forced to happen to you.
Yeah, I love that. And I also love that even this is totally your expertise and a little bit outside my wheelhouse, but I think about that instant though, like even when we're in an intimate act and right before that like climatic point, there is a point of pain, like not in like painful, but like, you know, there's like that it pressure, right? The pressure gets really high and you're almost like, is it like gonna really, you know, like there's that moment of the pressure's too much and I'm gonna release, right? For a lot of people anyways, I would expect that to be true. You're looking kind of at me, but it's interpretation, right? It's perception of what it is, like you're saying, and we get to choose how we see that moving forward, right? Yeah.
I also think that in that particular arena, we just don't have enough education around sexuality, intimacy, physicalness of our own female bodies, right? So each woman has a very different experience level on what feels good and where we might be hitting a terror barrier of some sort. Because, and I don't know if you know this, you might, is that there are actual reflexology points within the genitals of men and women. So there are times when you may hit a certain point that hits a particular, it's like doing reflexology on your hand or your foot, and you hit that point that has some type of trauma or memory that gets triggered, right? And I can't tell you when that's going to happen, how that's going to happen, but yes, sometimes that actually does happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're all about flow. And we've given a couple tips here on, you know, safety, right, is one of the ways that people can start to give themselves permission to feel their feelings. And you've mentioned dance, right, and as being one of the ways to move, bring you pleasure, but also move energy. And so do you have any other tips? I really want to go back to that. Oh, and we talked about how play, right? Like play also, if you think about this more with curiosity than right or wrong, it's going to help give you permission too, right? Because I feel like we base our current experience on our past experiences. And if we can switch that to the curiosity of, well, if I did it different this time, not making myself wrong in the past or filling myself with shame and guilt because I didn't know I didn't have this tool yet, and then adopting those lens of curiosity and playfulness to explore the more pieces that we're able to give ourselves permission. And I'm And that builds on each itself, right? Like, oh, I have permission to look at this part of my life, and I have permission to look at this part of my life. And we've talked about a lot about emotions too, but like a few things that get to happen to people once they do give themselves permission really is living a much more full, bigger life, which also gives you permission to then dream more and have a bigger, fuller life. And so when you're working with people, what are some of the things that you bring in? I just want to give our listeners some really good tips, two or three tips on how to get in that space of giving themselves permission.
You know, it's interesting as you say that, like when you give yourself permission to be curious and to play, I laugh because that's what my second book is all about. It's kind of funny, but it begins there, right? Because if you allow yourself to be curious, then you're not going to make yourself wrong. And I think that would be the first piece of advice I would give to anyone is don't make your curiosity wrong. And it's easier said than done. I know when I was trying to heal all of my sexual wounds, right? It was like, oh my God, is this from God or the devil? That's wrong, right? Like I shouldn't think those things. But there's a reason we're curious. I would invite people to follow the curiosity, the breadcrumbs of curiosity, because there's something there for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be picking that smutty book up or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Whatever falls into your lap that you're like, ooh, but I shouldn't do that. No, allow yourself the permission. The next thing I would say is being in your body, which you can do that in so many ways. I mean, and you and I both teach, embodiment things, right? It's knowing that mindset alone is not enough, that yes, you need to be conscious. You need to allow yourself to make the best choices, but yet we need to listen to our bodies and to allow the body to process through things. And the more that we can get in touch with our body and love the body, we will listen to it more. Let's see, what would be the third thing? See, dancing already goes with being in the body.
Right. I did have that thought earlier to bring that up. And what I want to say about the being in your body, and maybe we could just, so dancing, you mentioned just touch, right? Like doing bilateral touch with yourself, like that calms the mind, calms the nervous system. Some people call this havening. There's a few modalities like that. I use myofascial release when I'm in person with people. And that has a whole different way of really opening up that tissue. Our fascia really is a somatic organ. It holds on to that stuff. And so a lot of what I do when I'm working with myofascial release with people is, well, first of all, I also use Reiki, and my magic of Reiki is really being able to flip that switch really quick for people. Even the people that come in and be like, I can't relax on the table. Like even when I get a massage, I'm nervous, and it's like within minutes, really using the Reiki and the myofascial release, it calms the nervous system and people are like snoring, and other people maybe not that deep, but I think that's why that combined technique does help, people.
I want to jump in there and say something because I think it's important for especially people that may be new to energy work or are a little bit reserved. So like my mom is very religious, very Catholic, doesn't really understand the energy stuff. But one of my very dear friends was a reflexologist. And my mom would go to her for reflexology on her feet and always felt great. Didn't really realize that there was energy work that was happening along with it. And my friend has literally just 2 weeks ago passed away. And so my mom hasn't seen her probably 6 to 9 months since she was terminally diagnosed. And my mom said the other day, she's like, Jen, she goes, I feel my body's in pain. Like I never realized the difference. Like she enjoyed going to her. She liked her feet being rubbed, right? And she enjoyed the conversation, but didn't understand the power of the energy that was actually being released during the session. And for her to say that, I mean, she's 72 years old, right? That like, she's like, I think I really need to find a new reflexology person. even though she's resistant to it, because she can feel the difference in her body.
Yeah. And reflexology and some of the other acupuncture things like that, they all move energy, right? And they follow the meridians of the body. So not only are we just getting the energy in, we're actually nourishing our organs and all of the things just through the feet. And that's energy moving, right? And so that's all about the energy, the chi within the body moving around. So safety, get in your body. Oh, the other thing I want to bring in, because you were talking about the mind, and I want to say that the mind comes in later, right? Like you're saying that women, we don't process things through our mind. The important piece of our mind, because it is, you know, it is super and super powerful, is being able to then create these new beliefs. Like, we've created this belief shift and these new beliefs, and now we can go back into the mind with this new belief, like, you know, I'm worthy of experiencing pleasure. And in fact, when I do, my like work is easier, my life is easier, the sunshine is brighter, right?
Yeah. The other thing that I would say too is I think that there's a balance between doing the work on your own and also working with a practitioner, a coach, a sisterhood, that type of thing. That there's so many people that think, I have to do it alone, I have to do it all by myself. And God didn't make us to have to do things alone. And to be quite honest, most of the time, if we try to do everything on our own, we will sabotage ourselves because we're stuck in our own stories. We can't see the forest through the trees. And sometimes you need a loving friend, partner, coach, you name it, to say, hey, you know what? Maybe you should think about this differently. Let me challenge you. Because our natural go-to is not pleasure. Our natural go-to is work hard, struggle. And what I have seen has helped me is this sisterhood that we need, because even the people that are making $1 million plus seven figures, whatever, in their businesses, they've got sisterhood support as well too. They have days where they fall, right? When we retrain our nervous system, it's easier to do things on your own, but you are going to need a handful of people. It doesn't have to be 20. You don't have to have a whole, you know, army, but a handful of people that can help you in that journey of growth, because it will help make your experience smoother and more enjoyable, I would say. Like, if you had to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm suffering, I have to do this all on my own. Well, you don't have to. You're still the one doing the work. It's not about expecting you to do it for me, right? It's you holding space to guide me, for me to do the work for myself. And I think that's where the power of the work that we do, you know, comes into play, is when we can support each other in that process going forward.
Yeah, for sure. Having a coach, a healer, a mentor, or a sisterhood, a tribe that we can be a part of. I think a lot of that, we didn't talk about this piece very much, but is, first of all, the container for someone else to hold the safety container. And that's really big, right? And there's a few of us that can walk this life where we have learned to hold immense containers. And I really feel like I'm super blessed to be able to sit beside people that have been through crazy trauma and let them work through that, you know, whether in person or virtually with me. I'm like, I even tear up even every time I say it, you know, because it's just like, it is such an amazing gift to be one of those people that can hold those really hard containers, right? And I know you're that kind of person too. And there's a lot of us that are that way. And this work, like working with other people as coaches, but that makes it even more important for us to find those other people that can hold just as big a container as we can, for us to process not only our stuff, but the stuff that's also coming up with working with other people, in the, as much as we can put up our energetic barriers, right, we still need to find somebody that can hold just as big of a container in either that coaching or friendship or the sisterhood. But I do think that's where the healer coach really comes into play for people that are doing great things. It's even more important for them to have, you know, a person that can hold that container. Yeah. Is there, and I know that we've talked a lot, we kind of talked about the do-it-yourself and we've talked about having a coach. Oh, the piece I did want to say also was validation. So the piece that's super important, we didn't talk about this a lot, but it really is important. We talked a little bit at the beginning about loving all parts of us, but in that is actually validating those experiences that happened in the past, and having a witness to that is so valuable. And I find that's where, again, a coach or a mentor or a group of women really comes in. And I'll invite you to say any last things you want about that. But I do want to let the listeners know that you have a great gift for helping them, a do-it-yourself playlist for them. So you can go ahead and talk about that. And if you had something else you wanted to finish.
Well, no, actually, I think it kind of ties in with that, because I think that when you allow yourself permission to feel, like, it opens up possibilities for you to feel the anger, to feel the sadness, to be witnessed in it. I mean, last year, I remember Mama Gina saying to me, "Jen, love your anger." And I was like, "What? Love my anger? What are you talking about?" Right? Like, anger's bad. It's not bad. So that would be one of the last things to leave people with. Anger, sadness, the quote unquote negative emotions, they're not bad. We need to validate the feeling and feel it. And my offer is a downloadable playlist. It's actually a variety of anger, sadness, and turn on and empowerment songs kind of rolled into one. There's four different waves. So don't flick it on if you think you're just going to do some empowerment, kind of a thing. There's actual meaning behind the madness to the way that this was crafted, because it allows you to be in your anger, to literally dance and move your body to that music, and then to allow yourself to roll into the next song. And you never know what song is going to be the one that's going to move something through you, right? Which is one of the reasons why I offer this as a free gift. But then, I'm also starting these virtual freedom dance experiences, right? To help people have a space where they're like, "Oh, okay, I liked your playlist, but yet I'm not quite sure how to do this on my own," right? I'm starting to do these groups that are virtual online to teach women how to do this in a group setting so that you can do it together, but then you can take it and learn how to do some of this on your own. Again, it's a combination of both. First, you need to have the tools and in the sacred space to show you how to do that. And then you can then do some of that continued practice on your own. So I think we're going to have the links in the show notes so that if people are interested in that, I'm more than happy to share that information with y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put the links for the playlist. And I would, if you should be over the links for also the group, then I'll put that in the show notes too. And I do want to say just one more thing to leave people with and go back to that very beginning thing of play, right? We have dug deep and it may sound a little daunting, but the magic of emotions is they last 60 to 90 seconds, and anything else is what we've attributed meaning to, right? And she was saying, don't bring the woo-woo empowerment. And that's just because she's inviting you into the space where you can go through a cycle of emotions, but it doesn't have to take a long time to release an emotion. And I think that's where it comes up to you never know when that's going to be. And so if you just give yourself, again, permission to feel it as deeply as you can for that 60 or turn 90 seconds, right? It doesn't always have to be a long drawn out process. And so that's what's super cool about it, I think. And then you get to choose how you want to go the rest of your day feeling, right? So it's awesome. Well, thanks, Jen. And thank you everybody for tuning in and listening. And I will see you guys next week.
Thank you for having me.
So amazing. You've reached the end of another episode of Creating Flow. And I want you to know I appreciate your presence. And to remind you, knowledge is powerful, but taking action is transformative. I invite you to take the next step to activate your full potential today by scheduling a complimentary 15-minute session with me. A no-obligation chat to identify the messages your body is sending you and how I can not only help you understand these messages, but teach you how to heal your body in order to have an abundance of health and energy in your life and business. Visit the link in the show notes to book a call, and I'll see you next week.